Good morning, and thank you for joining First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa, here on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM. This morning, we start off with our chancel choir, led by the talented Scott Teeter, performing This Little Light of Mine, arranged by Lloyd Larson. This piece is from our annual Christmas cantata service. Thank you for listening to this week's message of hope from First Christian Church here in Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love. This week, our associate pastor, Will Ryan, continues the Speaking Christian sermon series with Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30, titled Openness. Stay tuned after the message for music and to learn more about First Christian Church of Burlington.
We continue this morning with our Speaking Christian sermon series. We find ourselves in week four here today as we are focusing on the core values of our church and thinking about the ways in which they affect not just our life and those whom we love, but the very things that come from our mouth and the words that we speak. And so we hear the reading today from the Gospel according to Mark in chapter 7, verses 24 to 30. We invite the Spirit of God to be upon us as we hear God's word read in the midst of worship today. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and she bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for it.
Would you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Before I start the sermon, I have to admit that this was a great fear of mine when I was growing up at the church. They asked me to be worship leader starting in eighth grade, and my parents can attest that I often talked like this, even when there was a microphone, so you could not hear me talk at all. And so we should give thanks when we have sound systems that work. The thing you need to know about my mother is that she was and is an optimist. She always looks for the good in a person or situation. If I can make an assumption about her belief about humanity, it is that each individual person has a redeeming quality. Every single one of us. It might be buried deep, but it is there. And with my 2020 hindsight, I can see the hope which seems to seep out of her pores like the way you smell after a particularly garlicky meal. She can't help but radiate it. And knowing what I know now, I can appreciate my mother's outlook on life. But when I was growing up, it grated on me. Very often I could handle nails on a chalkboard, but not my mother's incessant positivity in the face of sheer certain madness. I can remember a particularly spirited conversation we had during my teenage years. The fight, it was a fight, centered around the nature of capitalism. I was just getting done with economics and I was studying capitalism, and I had this weird idea in my mind that there was always a need for a working poor. And I argued that in a capitalist society, there will always be a class of poor people to do the less than favorable work than the intelligentsia or bourgeoisie slough their way. I was very, very high on myself when I took economics. And becoming fed up with my continual arguing, she exclaimed, "I understand it, Will, but it's just wrong." And in my love of confrontation, I responded in kind, "I know it's wrong, Mother, but that's just the way it is." Did I think I bested my mother? Sure I did. I was a cocky teenager who thought he knew everything. But when I pull out my 2020 hindsight again, there was an unanswered question hanging there in the air, the way your breath hangs like a fog on a cold morning. My mother knew when to stop pushing and then hoped I would come to my senses and eventually see what was right in front of my eyes. It's a question which looks beyond the end result and at motive. It's a simple question which a 4-year-old nephew can annoy his uncle. It's a simple question that can topple the hubris of even the staunchest teenagers of teenagers. The question of why? Why? Left on the tip of her tongue, my mother was able to instill a bug in my mind, drilling to the center of my brain to implant itself deep in the recesses of my mind, only to surface when I see a panhandler on a street corner, or hear about how many children only get one semi-square meal a day when only school is in session, or when factories are closing because a robot can do the job more efficiently. Why? It took years, but I finally got there. I can finally say, with great consternation, mind you, that my mother was right. openness is hard, right? Being open with another person is scary, harrowing, and intimidating. Being open and bearing yourself with another, or even being open to someone else being right, is scary and hard. You might be called a snowflake or a bigot. There's risk in opening yourself up to other viewpoints because it means something you've held dear might be called into question. Crossing real or imagined boundaries to be open to something different takes guts because there's the simple admission that maybe there's more than just your experience of the world. I mean, imagine taking the time to listen to someone on the other side of the political spectrum. Think of the sheer will it would take to plop yourself down in a chair and have coffee with some crazy person who has the audacity to believe something other than you. And then have a deep and meaningful conversation with that person. It ain't gonna happen. At least, that's the attitude the world would have us believe. And I wonder what would have happened if Jesus thought and acted like this. How might his life have been different if he did not open himself and his mission to others? Would we be here singing hymns and songs we all know and love? Would we meet at the table to commune across party and racial and sexual and class lines? Would we join our hearts and hands in working to live out the kingdom of God here in Burlington? I guess what I'm wondering is what would the world look like if Jesus wasn't open to having his mind changed and his mission expanded by this Syrophoenician woman? There once was a woman who lived in the antebellum South. Her name was Julia. Julia was a good Southern lady in all sense of the word. No one ever said, bless her heart, about Julia because all could see she was already blessed. She came from good stock with her father being the town judge. And while this would have permitted her a little bit of freedom to test the bounds of the law, she never even considered doing such a thing because it would might as well have been blasphemy. And speaking of religion, never once was she not in the second pew on Sunday morning, sitting attentively and listening attentively to the words the preacher offered each worship service. She even sang sweetly with every hymn as if she knew them by heart. When Julia got married, nothing changed. Her house was immaculately furnished. The parties she threw always were the talk of the town, with each invitation coveted beyond belief. She could go toe-to-toe with any man or woman in wit or conversation. And her kids, they were the envy of the entire South. Dressed to the nines, never out of step, respectful of every adult, talented in everything they did. Julia doted upon them because they were everything she ever wanted, and more. Built upon the backs of human beings kept in captivity, her life was picturesque. So when her eldest daughter got sick, Julia's world was thrown into chaos. The daughter's sweet whimpering transformed into ugly howls of pain, reverberating off the walls. Sheets had to be changed hourly, whether they were soiled or sweat through. Those working in the fields and sleeping in the shacks were shaken to the bone from the sound of the girl's cough. Her health deteriorated, leaving her a gaunt shell of herself, ragged and bedridden. The doctor was hailed, and he could do all he tried. Ointments were applied, roots were brewed into tea, even blood was let, going back to those medieval ages. Nothing seemed to work. And so when Sunday came, Julia left her daughter with the slaves. Church couldn't be missed. People would talk and start to gossip. So she trudged to her pew and offered prayer after prayer after prayer. The hymns didn't matter. The scripture for the day rang hollow. Even the sermon offered scant hope. The only thing which offered solace was communion, because communing with Christ was what she needed. The bread and cup made real the forgiveness offered for Julia, and she knew, at the very least, her daughter's sickness was not her fault. Jesus doesn't work that way. So, but by the time the benediction was given and she got back to her now less than immaculate home, her daughter had taken a turn for the worse. The black woman by the bedside reported the girl fell asleep and didn't wake up. She wasn't dead, but was not alive either, hanging in an all too real purgatory. Now the wails heard throughout the homestead were not of the girl, but of the mother. And so the bedside attendant said, "You know, ma'am, there's a preacher wandering through the south. He's more than a preacher, though. I've heard from a cousin that he's been healing people wherever he goes. A woman that had her time of the month for 12 years was suddenly done and clean. A man who couldn't walk was suddenly seen gallivanting around town. And he even healed this poor white man who had been crazy in the head for years. You might try and find him. The name that follows him around is Joshua. I hear, though, he's like me. He's black." Julia, though, was at a place where a mother would try anything. It didn't matter if the other women in town talked. It didn't matter if her father disowned her. It didn't matter if she didn't know where this man was. She was desperate to help her daughter, desperate to hear her laugh, desperate to see her smile. So she left her home, searching for this Joshua. She went to the towns, asking any white person if they knew where he was, but the best response Julia got was silence. More often, she was shunned and ran out of town. So she changed tactics and went to the plantations, forsaking the mansion for the fields. There she got a hint and a warning. "He's tired. He got into a fight with words and theology with the white ministers in town last week, and it wore him out. Don't go and bother him right now." But she didn't care. Julia begged the field hand for Joshua's location. She pleaded with him, promised money or food or even freedom, tried anything she could to weasel the location of the itinerant preacher out of the field hand. Finally, the man relented and pointed to a wood-slatted shack at the end of the field. Salvation was near. The only thing dividing her and her potential savior was an expanse of cotton. Brow dripping with sweat and feet raw with sores from running, she made it to the less than impressive building, taking a second to quiet the noise of her now heaving breath. She offered a prayer of hope and guidance to a God she knew was listening. And so she peered in and saw a weary, stringy black man sitting at a rickety table, seemingly doing nothing. So taking a deep breath, she moved into the only room, and whether out of honor or exhaustion, she fell at the man's feet. "Please, sir, help me. My daughter is sick and nothing will help her. We've tried everything. Please save her." A curious look came over the man's deeply lined face, too lined for his age. And Julia could not tell what he would say. And with a gravely deep voice, he replied, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Children? Dogs? What was he talking about? And so taking a chance, she gave into this sadistic metaphor and replied, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And confusion and consternation grew upon the man's face, as you can see the heat rising. Julia hoped this was a good thing. Maybe he would come with Julia and heal her daughter. Maybe this man would be a saving grace. Maybe, just maybe. So after a couple of seconds, or a lifetime, Joshua replied, leave me. I'm tired. And you're white. You'll get your turn. Right now, it's my people who need saving. And he turned away. Defeated and dejected, Julia moved to leave the dark, dank room when a dove surprised her by flying in through the door. She followed the flight of the dove around the ceiling and ducking and diving, and she was awestruck and in wonder, and with great astonishment she saw it land on Joshua's shoulder. Mesmerized, she saw his body shape. Then she heard something which amazed her. Quiet sobs echoed through the room. Then she heard the man's hushed voice. "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." What would this world be if Jesus did not expand his mission and welcome the outsider?
Hi guys, my name is Justin Livingston, and I'm the youth minister here at First Christian Church. I would like to invite all middle school and high school age kids to our youth group on Sunday nights, Crosstown High. Middle school meets from 5:30 to 6:45, and high schoolers from 6:15 to 7:30. We have a great time with Bible studies, games, food, activities outside of our church, and mission trips. We hope that all of you will come out and be a part of all the fun.
We also have small groups for people of all ages, and we believe there is no better way to deepen your relationship with God than in a community of faith. So we hope that you will join us for Sunday school at 9:50 every single week, where we have classes for adults and infants and children, and we have special classes on Wednesday night called Midweek Miracles for infants through fifth graders. You can find out about this and so much more by going to our website at burlingtondoc.org.
This week's special music is provided by two members of the local band, Skunk Eyed Lizzie, Diana James and Lizzie Onker. This week, they are performing Orphan Girl, a timeless Appalachian-style piece written by singer-songwriter Jillian Welch.
No father, no
Committed to sharing God's love, First Christian Church is once again partnering in 2017 with Foods Resource Bank to be a Christian response to world hunger. We strive to help local communities resolve their own issues and problems in solving hunger. Last year, we helped a community in Northwest Haiti develop agricultural cooperatives within the region. If you would like to partner with First Christian Church or donate funds to help Food Resource Bank, contact our church office.
Tune in next week as Pastor Dave continues the Speaking Christian Sermon Series with a message on our fifth core value, grace, with scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9.
Thanks for listening to this week's message of hope from First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, here in Burlington, Iowa. We are located at 1221 Park Avenue on the south side of town, in between the airport and Dankwart Park. If you're looking for a church home or looking to find a relationship with Jesus Christ for the first time, we hope that you will join us for worship this Sunday morning. We have two services every week. Our traditional service is at 8:45 a.m. and features old-time favorite hymns and a wonderful anthem by our chancel choir. Our contemporary service is at 10:45 and features our amazing band and music that you hear from today's Christian radio. Both services offer a hope-filled and challenging message for today, activities for youth and children of all ages, and open communion for all who believe in Christ. There is no better way than to begin your week with worship, so I hope you will join us. You can find out more information by going to our website at www.burlingtondoc.org, and you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at @BurlingtonDOC. We hope you have a great week and share the love of God with someone today.
Nobody has shown me what love really is.